Zapari Vajakacharya Astatata Sata Shri Srimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Pari Vajakacharya Astatata Sata Shri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Chikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Sama Veda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Bless you, Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 23. And starting with I'm assigned text 36 through 42, quite a few verses. Several have purports, so we'll read 36 together. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavan api govindas tenaiva nena gopakan chaturvidena shayaitva svayam cha bubuje prabhu Bhagavan api govindas Tena vanena kopakan Chatur videna srayitva Svayam cha bubuje prabhu Please chant.
Bhagavanapi Govindas
Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Api, moreover, Govinda, Lord Govinda, Tena, with that, Eva, very same, Anena, food, Gopakan, the coward boys, Chatur Videna, of four varieties, Ashayitva, feeding, Svayam, himself, Sha, and Bhuvajay partook, Prabhu, the Almighty. Translation. Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, fed the coward boys with that food of four varieties. Then the all-powerful Lord himself partook of the preparations. Text 37. Evam lila narava pur nui lokam anushilayan rene gogopa gopinam ramayan rupavakrikatai. Thus the Supreme Lord, appearing like a human being to perform his pastimes, imitated the ways of human society. He enjoyed pleasing his cows, coward boyfriends, and coward girlfriends with his beauty, words, and actions. Text 38. Atanu smritya vipraste anvatapyan kritakasha yad visveshvasvayor yat nam ahama vidambaya. The Brahmanas then came to their senses and began to feel great remorse. They thought, we have sinned, for we have denied the request of the two lords of the universe, who deceptively appeared as ordinary human beings. Purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram did not try to deceive the Brahmanas. They straightforwardly requested food from them. Rather, the Brahmanas deceived themselves, as indicated by the Sanskrit word nri-vidam-bayo, which means that Krishna and Balaram are bewildering for an ordinary human being who considers them also to be human. Still, because the wives of the Brahmanas were great devotees of the Lord, the foolish Brahmanas received spiritual benefit and finally came to their senses. Text 39. Drishtva Srinam Bhagavati Krishna Bhaktim Alokikim Atmanam Chataya Hinam Anutapta Vyakarhayan. Taking note of their wives' pure transcendental devotion for Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and seeing their own lack of devotion, the Brahmanas felt most sorrowful and began to condemn themselves. Text 40. Dig janman nashtri vidyata dig vritam dig bahuchatam dig kulam dig kriya dakshyam vimukaye tvadoksaje. Translation, the Brahmanas said, to hell with our threefold birth, our vow of celibacy, and our extensive learning. To hell with our aristocratic background and our expertise in the rituals of sacrifice. These are all condemned because we were inimical to the transcendental personality of Godhead. Purport. As explained in the definitions above, the words tri-vrid-janma, or threefold birth, refer to 1, physical birth, 2, brahminical initiation, and 3, initiation into the performance of Vedic sacrifice. Everything is useless if one is ignorant of the absolute truth, the Supreme Lord Krishna. Text 41. Nunam bhagavato maya yoginam api mohani Yadvayam Guravo Nrinam Svarte Muyamahe Drijaha. The illusory potency of the Supreme Lord certainly bewilders even great mystics. What to speak of us? As brahmanas, we are supposed to be the spiritual masters of all classes of men. Yet we have been bewildered about our own real interest. And the last verse is text 42. Aho pashyata narinam api krishne jagad guru duranta bhaktam yo vidyana vityu pashan grihavidan. Just see the unlimited love these women have developed for Lord Krishna, the spiritual master of the entire universe. This love has broken for them the very bonds of death, their attachment to family life. Purport. Superficially, the husbands, fathers, fathers-in-law, and so on, were the ladies' gurus or teachers. Yet the women had become perfect in Krishna consciousness, whereas the men had fallen into the darkness of ignorance. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, upon returning home, the ladies showed transcendental ecstatic symptoms, such as trembling of the body, shedding of tears, standing of the bodily hairs on end, discoloration of the complexion, crying out, O pleasure of my life, O Krishna, with faltering words, and so forth. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti goes on to state that while one may object that it is not fitting for a woman to love anyone other than her husband, here the husbands themselves point out that they are the gurus only in imitation of the Supreme Lord, who is Jagat Guru, the original, the universal teacher and spiritual master. The husbands noted that the women, having perfected their transcendental attachment for Krishna, did not have even a trace of attachment left for home, husband, children, and so forth. Therefore, from that day on, the husbands accepted those ladies as their worshipable spiritual masters and no longer thought of them as their wives or property. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nupashesha Sandhivadi Bhaktivedanta Swami Hare Krishna. So, these are quite a few verses covering quite a few different topics. So we'll try to go through what we're hearing here. So, first of all, Krishna finally gets to feed his coward boyfriends the prasadam that the wives of the brahmanas gave him, and he himself partook of the prasadam. Well, we can understand that even though this completes that activity, that the real purport behind this pastime was to give the wives of the Brahmins the opportunity to serve him in loving devotion, and also to basically test the Brahmanas to see if they were able to recognize Lord Krishna, who was appearing as an ordinary boy. And even the next verse is saying that he actually was imitating the ways of human society, which is really interesting because I looked up the word imitation, and it's usually children who, when they're born, they imitate the activities of the their family, the people who are raising them. It's typically not exactly desired activity, right? To, when we're adults, to imitate. We really want to be who we are and not pretend to be something we're not, not hide behind some facade. Being authentic is highly valued. But in this case, Lord Krishna had to pretend, in a sense, to act like a, you know, normal human being and not exhibit his glory, so the brahmanas didn't get it. They didn't. They were performing their yajnas and failed to recognize that the object of their sacrifice was right there in front of them. So, and then The next verse, finally the brahmanas have seen their mistake. And it says they came to their senses. And they began to feel great remorse. And they're actually saying, we have sinned. Because they had the opportunity to do some service directly for the Lord. And they blew it. So, and then they're accusing the Lord of deceptively appearing as a human being. But in the purport, our godbrothers who wrote the purport pointed out that Krishna didn't deceive them at all. They just deceived themselves. So he's saying in the purport that Krishna just was asking for some food. And they could have given it. They actually could have. They just were obviously too caught up in their rules and regulations, the rituals, and they failed to make that heart connection. That here the coward boys were hungry, they're saying they wanted prasadam, and they weren't able to fulfill that. So they're seeing now, they're starting to feel remorse. And then they noticed how their wives, on the other hand, actually had pure devotion for the Lord. And then the brahmanas started condemning themselves. So I have to admit that there are certain sections of the Bhagavatam. I read the Krishna book long before this 10th canto was out. And there are certain sections of the Krishna book that always, you know, caught my attention. And this particular section, because, I guess it's because the Prabhupada used the word hell. Now, the word hell is typically considered to be a bad word. I mean, you don't use it in polite conversation. And is it the expression to hell with, when the Brahmins start saying to hell with our threefold birth, to hell with, you know, our extensive learning and so on. I looked up the expression to hell with, and according to what I found, it's considered to be an impolite way of saying that someone or something is not important to you anymore. So I guess it's that, you know, a little bit over the line. I mean, there's another section in the Krishna book that really stands out in my mind where Rukmini is being teased by Lord Krishna, and he just wants to make her angry, but she ends up fainting because of all the crazy things that he's saying to her. And when she regains consciousness, then there's this one point where she's describing how this material body is just, you know, a bag of stool and blood and urine covered with, you know, skin and so on. And I just remember when my son was quite young, he would just go into hysterics whenever I would read that. And whenever any friends came over and he'd want me to read to them, that's what he wanted me to read to them. And they just all would crack up. And there's just like certain sections that, you know, kind of stand out. You don't forget them. And this conversation, or this, you know, ranting of the brahmanas berating themselves was definitely, a section that I recall. Now, when Srila Prabhupada gave us the summary study of Krishna book, he, of course, was using slightly different words. But, you know, the same meaning. At the end of this section, where the brahmanas are repenting, Prabhupada gives a little purport. And what he wrote is, women in general, being very simple at heart, can very easily take to Krishna consciousness. And when they develop love of Krishna, they can easily get liberation from the clutches of Maya, which are very difficult for even so-called intelligent and learned men to surpass. So this is very encouraging, because I am in the bodily concept of life and haven't learned the first lesson, which is we're not these bodies, and therefore I tend to identify with the body. Okay, that's few other people in that boat. So I have, in my early years in Krishna consciousness, I heard so many classes where the Grihastha ashram was condemned basically as a dark well, where women were compared to tigers and jackals, a family, you know, like these pretty heavy verses in the first few cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is all we had back in the early days, and we read them over and over again. And so, you know, in a sense, you could say, you know, it was difficult for women to hear these things, but I could understand that the society was vast majority were brahmacharis. Only a small percentage of grihasthas, and to encourage the brahmacharis to stay brahmachari was the way I understood the heavy classes that I heard. You know, people, there were, anyway, there's a whole history. But Srila Prabhupada never was discouraging to the ladies. In fact, it was just the opposite. He was always very encouraging to the ladies, and I myself was a witness to one conversation. I was living in Mayapur, and it probably was early 1976, and I was going to Srila Prabhupada's darshan every night. It was an open darshan. And at one of those darshans, I think it was Gargamuni. I remember it was Gargamuni who came to Srila Prabhupada, and he was proposing that there were so many women in the society who didn't have a husband, but they had children, and therefore they were unable to do much service. And he was, I can't remember if this is when he was proposing that he send all the women to Australia, or whether he was just proposing to kick them out of the temple. One way or another, it wasn't accepted by Srila Prabhupada. In fact, what he said to him was that the women can form a nursery, and so one or two women can watch the children, and then the other women are free to do service. So he had a solution. He, like, engage people in service, not send them away and, you know, ostracize them. Also, several times I've heard Mother Malati, actually she doesn't like to be called Mother, Malati Prabhu has several times told an amazing story of when she was also in Mayapur, but earlier, like 1972. Her service was cooking for Srila Prabhupada. And it was very difficult just to even prepare for it, because there was no way to get the boga except for her and her young daughter, who was probably like 2 or 3 years old at that time. They had to go all the way to Navadweep to get the boga. And it had to be fresh every day. I don't think they even had a refrigerator. Yeah, I'm even in 75, 76 when I was there in the deity kitchen, we didn't have a refrigerator. So for sure in 72, and she was cooking at the old original Bhajan Kutir. So the treasurer would never give her enough money. So she had to bargain with the rickshaw wallahs to get to the god. She had to bargain with the boat guy to get, you know, to get across to Navadweep. She had, you know, every step along the way, bargaining to the max, because she didn't have enough money. And then she had to come back and prepare Prabhupada's lunch. And so one day, Srila Prabhupada said to her that he had invited several of his godbrothers to dinner, and or lunch, and she was to prepare extra. So I don't remember all the details, but I just remember she said when she finished cooking, and she was bringing Srila Prabhupada's prasadam to him, and his godbrothers as well. And she said that I guess she felt like she needed to, like, disappear. So she pulled her sari way over her head. So she, you know, they couldn't even see her face. And she carried the plates in one by one, practically on her knees, and put them in front of Prabhupada's guests and himself. And then she heard Prabhupada say, "This is my disciple Malati. If I asked her to, she would lay down her life for me." And then he looked at them and he said, "And I would do the same for her." So this is Prabhupada's love for his disciples and not making any discrimination between the men and the ladies. And also Malati was giving class in Mayapur at one fairly recent Gaur Purnim festival. And they had announced that this was the first time that a woman was, well, actually, it's been a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago or so. And they said it was the first time that a woman had given Srimad Bhagavatam class. So after when she started her class, she says, actually, this is not true. This is not the first time that I've given class in Mayapur. And she told a story of how when Srila Prabhupada was laying the cornerstone in Mayapur, and again, there was quite a few of Prabhupada's godbrothers invited. Some of them came. And also the quote-unquote big guns of ISKCON, the leading sannyasis and so on, were at this cornerstone laying for the new temple. And who did Srila Prabhupada ask to speak? Malati. And that, you know, I understood that to be that Srila Prabhupada wanted to show off his disciples, that even the ladies in ISKCON can speak about Krishna consciousness. And so that's, you know, my understanding. I know that Malati was saying that she didn't expect that and so on, that she totally, and even today we would expect, if there was quite a few sannyasis here, we would expect that the leader among them would be the one to speak. So anyway, to get back to looking at these verses, so the brahmanas are saying that the ladies have, their love was so strong, they've developed such unlimited love, that they've broken the bonds of death, their attachment to family life. And that in the purport, it's saying that the normal way society is set up, that the husbands are considered to be the gurus of the wives, but these brahmanas were totally getting that their wives had surpassed them. Now, when I first read this, I have to admit, I was gloating. Because I guess I'm just, my husband is old school. He, I was sharing with Sukhita before class how my husband used to have this derogatory nickname for me, which was less, standing for less intelligent. And it was really, you know, it's not a nice attitude, because just because the scriptures are saying that women are less intelligent, Prabhupada would tell his lady disciples, this doesn't refer to you, this refers to the mundane ladies of the material world, that devotees are transcendental to these kind of descriptions. And so the real point is that in order to fulfill Prabhupada's mission, which is a pretty large mission to give Krishna consciousness to the whole world, we're going to just need everybody. We can't say, oh, we'll just take 50% of the population and we're going to fight this war. No, this is an army of everyone. We're Lord Chaitanya's army. And Srila Prabhupada was in Paris in 1976, and he was saying that preaching is our life, that the more we preach, the more we are successful. Yari Deka Tarika Krishna Upadesh. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching. He's saying that every one of you become guru and deliver the residents of your neighborhood. A dash, wherever you are living, just deliver them. Become their guru. How to become guru? It is not difficult. Yari Deka Tarikad Krishna Upadesh. What Krishna has said, instruct them. You simply repeat it. That's all. You become guru. So this is an instruction to everyone, men, women, and children. We all know this, or probably all know the story of little Saraswati, Malati's daughter, was maybe 3 years old, and Prabhupada heard her preaching. She said to somebody, do you know who Krishna is? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada heard that, and I said, this is perfect preaching. This is all we have to do, is just share Krishna consciousness with whoever we meet. It's great to have books on hand to distribute when we meet people. Someone recently was, I think Mukhi was reading about a devotee who was putting small books in waiting rooms, right? And, oh, I know, it was in the newsletter. It was in the temple newsletter about Sue Devi from Tampa was saying when she goes to her doctor's office, she puts on chanting Hare Krishna with the magazines for people to read. I think, what a great idea. Just put them down there, and people are always looking for something to read, and give them spiritual material. Even if it disappears, next time you go, bring more. But certainly when we meet people face to face, it's always nice to give them a mantra card, invite them to the Sunday feast, especially teach them the Maha Mantra. If they just say it once with you, you just teach them how to pronounce it. It is, there's nothing as ecstatic as giving Krishna consciousness to someone else. When I was at my mall last Christmas, I do a Christmas business in the mall, there was a young boy in the booth next to me, and one day he told me that he was going to back home to Illinois, and it was his last day on the job. And I typically do preach to the people around me, but somehow I hadn't said anything to him. But I thought, whoa, this is my opportunity. It's now or never. I got out a mantra card. I taught him how to chant. And then he went back to his booth. And like 10 minutes later, he came back to me and he goes, I was chanting. And then I had a customer, so I had to stop chanting. And then after that customer left, I was thinking, I was just experiencing something really wonderful. And what was that? And he realized, oh, it was because I was chanting. And so I encouraged him to go to the temple nearest him in Illinois. But there's opportunities like that that come up in our daily lives where we meet people, and it's just an opportunity. I feel like there's people out there just like we were at one time, just waiting to hear the holy name. And it's really up to us to give them that opportunity. And if we don't all do our part, then there's people who could have connected, and it may be a long time before they again have that opportunity. So we have this huge mission, like I say, that Srila Prabhupada has given us. At the same time, there's this this concept of, I can't remember how they call it, but if only a small percentage of the population become Krishna conscious, then it spreads very quickly. Do you know what that concept is called? Is it like the balance when it tips? The tipping point? Yeah. Critical mass. Yeah, that's also, yeah, the critical mass. So I don't know what that percentage is as far as spreading Krishna consciousness. But it's not going to be a large percentage. It just means that when we hit that point, maybe what, 10% of the population? 1% only. 1% can cause critical mass. So world population right now is what, 8 billion? 7? Last, you know, it was 6. I think it's near 7, maybe. 7 billion. So what's 1%? Can somebody figure out the zeros? Seven million? 70 million. Okay, well, that's our target. I mean, how Krishna conscious they have to be? Well, chanting Hare Krishna, appreciating the value of the chanting. And we know that some people, they hear the holy name, and it really just wakes them up. They're, you know, like that's what they're waiting for. And then there's others, it's just not their time. They're not ready for it. They're not open and receptive. But that's fine. Every no is closer to a yes, right? And that's how that works in sales. We're not discouraged by people who aren't interested. We're just still looking for those who are. Okay, well. What was that? If you only. Well, okay, this is one of the points I actually wanted to make about, you're talking about being half Krishna conscious. Well, the point, the general point that I get from reading all these verses is really not to be judgmental. We really don't know who we're dealing with. Somebody could be just joined the movement yesterday, and they could be way more Krishna conscious than someone who's practicing for 42 years. We just don't know. And it's just, you know, like looking at it externally is not the way to go. It's, we just should be respectful and of everyone and think the best of everyone and not, I mean, there's no such thing as half Krishna conscious. There's such a thing as half pregnant. You know, I mean, it's like either you have it or you don't. Or like slightly pregnant, like that kind of idea. When it's not slightly Krishna conscious. So you're either chanting and endeavoring in our best we can, you know, or we don't have the holy name. I mean, it's, there's not really, I mean, we're all on a path, obviously. Some are more Krishna conscious, people are more Krishna conscious than others, but as long as we're on the path, we don't want to criticize people in the shower saying you're dirty. They're in the shower. So we're on the path. So, Hare Krishna, thank you very much for your attention, and now comments, questions, corrections. Hare Krishna. Sukhita Prabhu, she's got her hand up first. Is there a microphone?
Thank you for a very nice class. And I was just thinking how when the brahmanas' wives, you know, they actually wanted to leave their husbands, but Krishna, you know, because they were so in love with Krishna, but Krishna told them, well, they can't do that. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons was because they had to be there for the sacrifice to help their husbands. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that in order for it to be complete or correct, that the brahmana's wives need to be there also.
Mm. Nice point. Maybe we could consider that when we have ceremonies here at this temple. Because I've been to other temples where they did abhishek, like when the pujaris, only pujaris did abhishek, and it was the husbands and the wives. And here we have this tendency to have only the men. It's true. Maybe we're missing that element here. Hare Krishna. Anybody else? Dharma Rishabhu?
Once there was an explanation that, you know, when the prediction is due that the whole world would become Krishna conscious, the explanation was that 10% would be devotees, and the other 90%, because of the 10%, the 90% would be conscious of Krishna, that they had an opportunity to hear the holy name, they know what's about, and their philosophy and so forth. So that's what I pointed out. Also in Mother Sukhada's comment, one other way of seeing that also is that to perform one's duty, and one can be Krishna conscious and still perform one's duty. Like for example, Lord Chaitanya told Raghunath Das Goswami said, just go home and behave like the prince and the king, just as what his father wanted him to be, and just act in that way. But internally, his heart was always with Lord Chaitanya. So it's a duty that what he was, you know, by dint of karma or nature that he has, he was placed in that position. So in one way, like the Brahmana's wives also, they're placed in that position of having a body that is more conducive to serving in this capacity, serving with their husbands. But that doesn't mean that they're any less so. So with all, they're very Krishna conscious, that their position, at least in that body, is to perform these duties. So Krishna is telling them, well, okay, perform your duties, and like that, they carry on their Krishna consciousness.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Nara Taki Gopal. Hello.
Thank you, Mahamaya. If I'm not mistaken, when Srila Prabhupada was talking to Malati, he didn't use the words, she would give up her life and I would do the same. It was much stronger than that, and I was always shocked how strong this was. Prabhupada said, she would cut her throat and I would do the same. Yeah. I was always like shocked. Wow, what a strong way of saying, extraordinary, you know, what a drastically strong way of making that statement. Yeah. You know.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Hare Dev.
I think also if we look at Mother Malati? Malati Prabhu's life that she has. She has given her life to Prabhupada. Yeah. I mean, heart and soul. All glories to Malati.
Jai. All glories to Malati. True Crown Prabhu.
I was also thinking that these cowherd boys, they were small. They were just about seven. Mm-hmm. And it's just, just courtesy. You know, if some kids are hungry, mm-hmm. you give them some food, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah. What were these guys thinking, you know? Yeah. I mean, they were just little kids, you know, yeah. asking for some food, and they were refused.
Right. But you see what happens when we're so caught up in the rituals that they were like, this is not the time in the you know, ceremony. You know what I mean? They were just too caught up in smart of Brahmanism, right? That can hold us back, really. Like I somehow was able to control myself and not bring up the subject of the current controversy in ISKCON about women becoming gurus, but now I'll bring it up because it just seems to fit the bill. What can I say? It's like Narayani right now is being considered to be the first woman guru. And it's not that somebody's putting her up, suggesting her. It's that people want to take initiation from her. And she's not the first woman, but she's the one that's right now that's being considered. And she told me that no one is saying it's because of disqualification. She is totally qualified. And who could deny that? She comes here regularly, right? I mean, her classes are phenomenal, right? Narayani from Vrindavan. And so it's not even on that basis that they're saying no. Or they haven't said no. They just put it on hold indefinitely. Well, till the next, you know, Mayapur meeting, anyway, we'll see what happens then. But it's simply on the basis that she has a woman's body that they're not agreeing. So... Yes, okay.
I don't know if it's appropriate to bring that up in the Bhagavatam class.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we will end class. Hare Krishna. Sorry if I've said something wrong. Hare Krishna.